Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Studio G and the Discussions for Women in Leadership, where we focus on how the styles and principles of an Omega leader can influence leadership. We will be back with you shortly to start this week's show in just a few minutes. And here we are, back once again, Thursday evening, Studio G and the Discussions for Women in Leadership. We are focusing this evening with best-selling author Lori Beth Jones from her latest book, Jesus Career Counselor. And Lori is the author of 14 books and the book leading our discussion today, Jesus Career Counselor. Welcome from afar, Lori Beth.
Thank you, Shelley. It's great to be here.
And it's great to have you. We also have with us in the studio Elisa Holson representing the education pillar.
Hola.
Welcome, Elisa. And we have Vicky Arteaga representing the business pillar.
How are you doing? Thank you.
Doing pretty well. Better than you are, I hear. Vicky took a spill on her bike a couple days ago and gave us all quite a scare, so she's on about three crutches here in the studio with us tonight, but we're glad you're here.
Okay.
So, Lori, we are continuing this discussion around your book and lots of excitement, lots of energy. These topics are, you know, showing up on your blog and conversations in Twitter and Facebook around what people are really, really dealing with, which is how to find and keep your perfect work. So tonight, we're going to ask you to unpack for us this section of the book called Return and hear from you for a few minutes about the concepts around what it means to return. Am I returning to my job? Am I returning to my employer? Am I returning to the streets where I'm going to live for the rest of my life? Where am I returning to? Can you begin our discussion tonight as we jump into this session?
Well, the word return is in the earth section of the book because earth does return on its axis, and it returns harvest. When you plant a seed in the earth, it returns something even better. So when I looked up the word return, I was astounded to notice that it appears something like 580 times in the Old Testament, 124 in the New Testament. I don't have the book in front of me, but the total is something like what we did up in the pre-show.
Like 683.
Yeah.
693, Lori.
Yes, 600 and something. Many, many, many times the word return is in Scripture, and it's the most used word out of all of the 12 words that comprise each chapter of the book. So to me, a forensic scientist or someone who was looking at a speech trying to see what the theme of the speaker is would count key words. And certainly if one were to look at Scripture, it is a key word for the heart of God to return. Return to me, return to your first love, return to your homeland, return to your senses, return to the right path. So I had just an amazing time unpacking that word in the book.
It's interesting because, you know, when we were starting to think about the topic for tonight's show and I was kind of brainstorming through some questions, my first assumption was return, just as you kind of defined it, returning, going back to. But I was very surprised to see, you know, in the book that kind of the first thing you elaborated, the first definition, was return as in getting something back for an investment. Talk to us a little bit about that.
Well, with Jesus Career Counselor, when you are applying for a job, the person who's interviewing you or the company that is looking to hire you, they want to hire you not to give you a paycheck necessarily. They expect a return on the investment. If they hire you and pay you X, they would hope to get more than what it's costing them. So when you're interviewing for a job, you need to be thinking, what is the return I'm going to give this organization or this company or this group? And if you could identify that and articulate it, you're going to be way down the road in terms of setting yourself apart as a candidate. Because if you can say to them, look, I've done some research and I noticed that your sales are down, and in my last job I increased returns, you know, 35% over four quarters or something like that. And as I have worked with top-tier CEOs, they can articulate those numbers in conversation because they know that they're measured by return on investment. So that's the concept there, is that if you're looking to get hired, you need to think about the return you're going to bring someone. The other thing, the other concept, or the other side of that, is that if you are looking to work at a place, you need to ask yourself, what's the return for me, for my investment? As I pour myself into this company, is it going to be just a horizontal across the board, here's your paycheck and that's enough and my bills are paid? Or is there going to be a return that goes beyond the finances? Is there return, perhaps, the people that you're going to work with? Is it going to be the research that you're going to do? Is it going to be the inspirational products that you're putting out into the world? So you need to not just have a bottom-line mentality when you think about return. You need to think about, what is the yield to me? And so often in the news, we see people who did not consider the return when they made a choice or a consequence of their actions. You know, I was thinking about a child movie star, for example. When the parents get them into the movies, they look at any number of reasons, but it could be the child is talented, it could be we're going to make a lot of money. But when you think about what is the return on investment for the child not to have a normal childhood, to be set apart, to suddenly have to have bodyguards, those are things that are not necessarily measurable on a paycheck, but come with the harvest. So it's really, again, back to the original concept of meta-thinking. When you're thinking about a return, you have to have a meta-thinking process about it.
It's interesting because obviously I work kind of going back to what you're talking about, like what an employee offers an employer or team members offers an organization in terms of that return. And obviously a lot of the examples you give are financial because in most industries that's what the measurable return is. But coming from the education pillar, the immediate return is not a financial return. So in that case, how does somebody perhaps in the education pillar or the health pillar or any of the other helping kind of social outreach pillars, how is that return measured from the organization?
Well, it could be. It depends on who you were approaching or having the conversation with. If you were seeking a grant, for example, or if you wanted the federal government to continue your funding or whatever, you might do a comparison chart. You know, if you think education is expensive, try ignorance. You know, I think that's a bumper sticker. But then to really quantify what is the cost of not having an education, because those things are measurable. Certainly having an education is also measurable in terms of, you know, quality of life and later marriages, you know, all sorts of things across the board like that. But ultimately, the true measurement is, you know, pouring yourself into the next generation and into the child who hopefully someday will come back and say, thank you. You know, you touched me. You made an impact in my life. So for education, and I know right now it's just under siege because of the budget cuts and all sorts of things. So there's a different measurement that needs to go into how do you quantify the return of the education pillar. And
so, Lori, I have a question about the word return. You know, often we hear things like shake the dust off your feet and never go back, right?
Right.
You know, don't return to that situation because it wasn't healthy, or, you know, don't look back. We've come
right
this far, you know, to look back and go back. What do you feel that, or what is your opinion on the whole emphasis that Scripture is inviting here for us to return? I mean, that is a big word, and maybe if you're not earthy, you know, if you're not an earth personality, it might be harder to grapple with, like a fire. I'm initially fire, right? So I'm
right.
Like, okay, I'm done with that. I'm never going to go back and do that again. But right. Often throughout Scripture, we're taught and we see that sometimes we have to relearn a different principle or a different practice.
Yes.
And so we
yes.
have to go back and we have to learn it until we learn it well enough that we are leading well, serving well, living well, and moving past that. But just your thoughts, Lori, on, you know, someone who might say, well, what do you do with that whole passage of shake the dust off your feet and don't return?
Right. And I'm thinking of another one as you're talking about that. Anyone who looks back is not worthy of me, you know, and the pillar of salt,
yep.
The woman, Abraham's wife, or Lot's wife, or I can't remember who it was, got salty. But so I think it's all about the motivation. And I think that, you know, Joseph Campbell, in his books on mythology, as he studied cross-culturally myths, and Carl Jung certainly talked about the superconscious aspect that we all seem to tie into myths. And one of the first novels ever written, great stories ever told, is Homer and Odysseus. And it was all about a lost man trying to get home. The whole journey was trying to return. You know, the recent television series Lost, there was one word that they were thinking about. It wasn't lost. It was return. Everybody wants to go home. E.T., phone home. You know, so that concept of returning home, and I think Christ came to tell us that God's heart is our home. And
yeah.
That we need to be recreated and return to the love of the Father that created us.
Yeah, and also like Nehemiah, he returned to build up the wall that was down, right? And it's a sense of, I think that when you let people go to look for a greener pasture, and then they learn other skills, and they grow, and they might be able to return, obviously not in the same position or the same level, but in a greater level to impact whatever they left. So I was thinking while you were talking about it, that how important it is to leave whatever job you have, to leave the doors open, because you never know if your ex-boss is going to call you back or a co-worker is going to call you back. You know, it's returning to your relationships, returning to your previous work with a different quality.
Yes, you know, you never cross the river the same. You never cross the same river is I think, part of what you were saying. And also the fact that people go to bring back gifts and knowledge and education. The whole student exchange program is to give a different awareness so that people can return. And, you know, there's homing instincts in animals. Salmon are certainly the most one that comes to mind, is that they return to their breeding grounds. Penguins are that in, you know, the movie, and whales. So there's something innate in many animals that they will return to the place where they were conceived or where they were born. And it can be a beautiful thing. It can be a beautiful thing to come back full circle and be the prodigal son. That was a return, and he was welcomed, even though he smelled like he'd been sleeping with the pigs and eating their leftovers. He was still welcomed upon his return. And I think, too, that because the scripture was written by people who were nomads for many centuries and really thousands of years, they did not have a place to call home, that it was a yearning for them to come home. And perhaps some of our listeners tonight can relate to that. Maybe they're being called home for work or for an ailing relative or a business that's faltering that needs to be strengthened. So I think sometimes that fires can see return. You mentioned, Shelley, that, you know, it's like an ash. I've burned through that. I can't do that. Many times fires, we do burn our bridges when we leave. But it's not a failure if you're called back. Certainly Moses was called to return to Egypt, and he had a very powerful mission when he came back. He looked a lot worse probably than he did when he left, but he had a lot more to say, and that's the important thing there.
One of the things you talked about in the book was how returning can help you to connect with your divine purpose. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, I think it also goes to your earlier question about return, because if you were living your mission, then you have to trust that the harvest will come. And it may not come in your lifetime, but if you planted the seeds and were faithful, then there will be a return. I was on a radio program several nights ago with Father Dwyer in New York, and we were talking about returns and finances, and he said, "Oh, I don't know anything about that." And I laughed and I said, "Well, actually, I think you've got a great program going on." And he kind of chuckled when he got it, because, you know, he's investing in the mansions in the sky. So in one sense, we're all in real estate one way or the other.
That's a good point.
And also, some people might think like the word return is kind of like a boring, oh, you're going to return to whatever you already know. But I think that sometimes return is full of challenges. You return to a place where people had certain image of you, and when you return, you're different. You need to, like, Jesus went back to his old town, and he could not perform miracles there, but you know, that doesn't mean that he could not perform miracles, right?
Right.
So it involves challenges and expectations and all that. The salmon, when that's a species that at the end of their life they go back to the place they were born, and it's really amazing, you know, amazing to see. I went to Alaska and I just saw firsthand how they were just jumping up the river against the flow, up to
right.
the river and upstream. And Elisa is correcting my prepositions. And it's a very big effort, but it does have a purpose. I mean, that is the base of the circle of their life and the future life of the species. So
yes.
It's not a boring word.
No, and I think that's what I got in researching the scriptures, because for wind, if we talk about the wind for a minute, returning can seem boring because been there, done that. You know, that's a little bit of a wind, and maybe a little wind fire too. But to your point, Vicki, if we understand the power and come with new eyes to see what maybe we missed the first time. You know, I'm back in El Paso and my mother has returned home and she's spending time with her great-grandchildren now, and I'm getting to see this next generation, you know, just a series of one-year-old birthday parties, and it means so much to me. And as I've come back to the city, I see new beauty here that I missed when I was so eager to leave and prove myself. And the beauty really is the people. And I think that's true everywhere.
You know, Lori, I was I had a thought as you were sharing about the word return. I have a friend who, I won't name at the moment, but she has a real issue with me taking things back that I've purchased. I try something on, it doesn't fit right, or I buy something and, you know, that earpiece just did not sit in my ear very well, or, you know, whatever. And so I take it back, I return it, because it didn't fit the purpose that I needed it for at the moment. And
right.
So now I've got some new fuel, you know, to prop up my returning ventures with her. But I also thought as that piece came to me that, you know, in our relationship with Christ or in our relationship with an employer or with a family member or a friend, you know, if we've been giving something that doesn't quite fit, it doesn't really line up, or, you know, God doesn't want us to wear that. God doesn't want us to take that on, or the employer has given me a task that really doesn't align with me elementally in my highest gift and talent, I can return that, and I can say, you know, this doesn't quite fit. And so I think for me, return sometimes is, it is an interesting word, and maybe it's because I'm a fire earth that I see it as something that I can, that I can wear more. So I'm kind of sitting with that tonight, that word return, finding multiple uses for it in this conversation. Not to take sides, name friend, but one thing that Shelley was talking about that it reminded me, and it's kind of where I was going with one of the questions I asked you, is that it kind of going back to that divine purpose, how returning helps us to connect with our divine purpose, and obviously that's based on the premise that we've gone through that mission process and know what that divine purpose is. But as Shelley was talking about the returning, if something doesn't quite fit, it doesn't quite work, it reminded me of what you were talking about in the book of that returning connects you back with your divine purpose. So I guess the question is, kind of follow up to Shelley's statement, is how does one evaluate if one is strayed from their mission or their purpose? How does one evaluate if they're not getting the return in their job? How does one evaluate if it's just not fitting?
Well, I think that, you know, Shelley, in your very weak defense, I will say that David did return his armor. You know, he did. He did give it back. I don't think he took it to Nordstrom. but he did. That's right. He did say it didn't fit, and he had the courage to walk away. So I think that there's something to be said for that. Now, to Elisa's question about knowing a return, you know, when Jesus said to shake off the dust of your feet, Shelley, you mentioned that in the beginning of the program, he said, if they do not receive you.
Right.
And I know a lot of friends that are preachers, and they say, oh, it was a hard place. You know, and I know as a speaker, I have spoken in some pretty hard places where it looked like the seed was falling on brick, you know. But all you can do in that moment is be faithful to live your mission in that moment and to reevaluate and say, you know, you have to have common sense. And if there's no good soil here, why try to think that isn't going to receive it? Sometimes the earth is not prepared or will receive what you're trying to
do. Or someone else, the seed stays. In our mind, it's really not yielding any fruit, but the seed stays.
Right.
Somehow, there's somebody, some kind of water person comes along, and then all of a sudden, you know, there's this little plant emerging that, you know, from you being there.
Right.
You know, so often it's like you said, Lori, it's a circle of life. It is a this return, and maybe one of the emphasis in Scripture here that it's used so many times is there's multiple ways of really finding that connection, you know, from birth, you know, to the grave.
Right, and I'm thinking, too, about the Scripture where it says, return, you have lost your first.
Yep. And how about returning to the community? So whatever you receive,
you return to the community.
Yeah, and so returning it to the community, I'm wondering.
Yeah. Like giving back, you receive a blessing,
mm-hmm.
and you do community work. You're returning the blessing that is coming to you, you're returning to others. You
give away,
you give it back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because we could really jump into, you know, a lot of areas here about giving and supporting the disenfranchised pillar and, you know, lots and lots of places that we can take this. It appears that Lori Beth has left the building and has either lost her phone connection or something else is going on. So we're going to continue to, in these next couple of minutes, just try to focus on this topic at hand and continue kind of spelling out here what it means to return. There's a page in the book that Lori begins to talk about. I think it's a prayer, and I'm looking for the page right now as Lori jumps back in. But Lori, we were talking as we lost you for a second, right, just a few minutes ago, there's a prayer in here somewhere where you talk about, I'm too old to return, or, you know, I can't find it exactly which section it's in, but maybe in Remain. But, you know, sometimes we get that feeling, like I'm getting too old to do that. I'm getting too old to do what Moses did or Nehemiah or Ezekiel or, you know. How do I return to that first love? I think that's where you were getting ready to go. You've got about 3 minutes, so why don't you take the floor and talk to us about into our first love.
Well, I had to return to a place where I was getting a signal. I'm overlooking the city, and I can see lightning in the distance. It's quite spectacular, but it might be affecting the signal here. To return to the first love, with careers, it means think about what you really loved to do as a child and what it meant to you with your first discovery of gasping for joy when you tasted ice cream for the first time. I remember I was with a little boy the first time he heard thunder, my godson Jacob, and his mouth formed this O that was so huge, and his eyes looked around the table and was like, whoa! You know, and to go back to our childhood and remember the sense of wonder and awe and the things that used to give us pleasure to do. And sometimes we get so far away from that because we're trying to please other people. And it goes back to the Ezekiel 47 vision of the river that becomes the stream that becomes a river. And it starts in the temple under the altar. It starts in a place of authentic worship in the moment, that divine connection. I love you, you love me, I know my own know me. My sheep hear my voice, they respond. It's that familiarity of God who created us, calling us home. And I hope that our listeners tonight will be thinking, you know, is God calling me to return? Do I need to return home? Do I need to return to my children? Do I need to return to my faith that I lost? Do I need to return to a sense of self that is not based on what the world thinks of me? Because Jesus looks at us and he sees us as beautiful and whole. When he looked at the withered hand, he saw the hand as whole. And that's how he sees us, restored and beautiful and returned to him like new. So
thank you so much, Lori, for being here and jumping back in through that technology drop over there. And we appreciate you and the work that you're doing through this book, Jesus Career Counselor, How to Find and Keep Your Perfect Work. Thank you for the acknowledgement to us all to return this evening to our and to find and connect with that. So we will be back next week. Thank you all for being here this evening.
Thank you. Thank
you
to be back.
And
thank you all.
Lord, have a great evening, and we'll talk to you soon. Thanks so much.
All right. Blessings. Good night.